Welcome back to Clowncast, the show where we explore topics like they're magic, but they're not, but they kind of are. I'm really excited about this one because today we're talking about databases. And I know that sounds boring, but stick with me here because I've got a metaphor that I think is going to rearrange your brain a little bit.
Okay, I'm already skeptical. Databases? You're telling me databases are going to rearrange my brain?
Yes, because here's the thing. Databases follow two completely different sets of physics depending on how big they are. And I mean that almost literally. When your database is small, like thousands of rows, tens of thousands of rows, everything behaves like Newtonian physics. You throw a ball, it arcs, it lands where you expect. You write a query, it comes back fast, your intuition just works.
Okay, that tracks. That's how I think about databases. You ask for stuff, you get stuff.
Right, and that's fine. But then your database grows. You go from thousands of rows to millions, to hundreds of millions, to billions. And suddenly you've crossed into quantum mechanics territory. The rules feel wrong. A query that took 2 milliseconds now takes 4 to 5 seconds. You add an index to speed things up, and somehow the whole system gets slower. The correct way of organizing your data becomes the enemy.
Wait, how does adding something designed to make things faster make things slower? That's like learning a healing spell and it starts hurting people.
That's exactly what it's like. And honestly, the best way I can frame the whole episode is this. Think about Avatar, The Last Airbender. A waterbender can control a cup of water with a thought, right? Barely any effort. But bending the ocean, that requires fundamentally different techniques, a completely different discipline. Same element, totally different game.
Same water, different rules. Okay, I'm actually in. Let's start from the cup of water, though. Give me the small database world first.
Perfect. So SQL basics. The classical world. You've got tables, rows, columns, data organized into what we call relations. And there are these four fundamental laws. They're called ACID properties. Atomicity, consistency, isolation, durability. Think of them as the four laws of physics for databases. They guarantee that when you do something to your data, it actually happens correctly and completely.
ACID, that's a fun acronym for something that sounds extremely boring.
It is, right. And then you've got this concept called normalization. The idea is you organize your data so there's no redundancy, one single source of truth for everything. You break things into separate tables and connect them with keys. So like, you have an orders table, a customers table, a products table, and they're all linked together.
Instead of writing the customer's name on every single order.
Exactly. And when you want to combine that data, you use join. That's the bread and butter of SQL. You say, give me all orders and also tell me the customer's name and the product name, and the database goes and stitches all those tables together for you. And at small scale, join or cheat, five-way join, no problem. You can basically do whatever you want.
This sounds like the part of the video game where everything is easy and you're like, yeah, I'm great at this.
That's the tutorial level, yes. And here's the thing. A well-indexed table with 10,000 rows will return almost any query in under 1 millisecond. You literally cannot write a slow query at that scale. It's like playing a game on easy mode. The system is smarter than you and it's covering for your mistakes.
I feel like you're about to tell me the difficulty is about to spike.
Oh, it spikes. And there's no hard line where it happens. It's this fuzzy zone, kind of like the mesoscale in physics. Somewhere between 1 million and 100 million rows. By the time you hit billions, you're fully in quantum territory and everything you learned in the tutorial is wrong.
Everything.
Okay. Not everything, but so much that it feels that way. Let's start with join. Remember how I said join are cheap? Well, a join between 200 row tables is at most 10,000 comparisons. Trivial. A join between 200 million row tables. That's 10 to the 16th power potential comparisons.
That, I don't even know what that number is, but it sounds like a lot.
It's 10 quadrillion, and the database optimizer has to find shortcuts through that, and sometimes it just can't. So what do? You start denormalizing. You take that customer name and you do store it directly on the order record. Redundant data, on purpose.
But wait, you just told me that was the wrong way to do it. You said normalization, one source of truth, the whole thing.
I did, and at small scale it is the right way. But this is where the full metal alchemist principle kicks in. Equivalent exchange. At large scale, every optimization has a cost, and you have to choose what you sacrifice. You sacrifice data purity to gain speed. the heresy becomes orthodoxy.
That's wild. So the textbook answer is just straight up wrong once you're big enough.
Not wrong, it's correct for its context. It's Newtonian physics. Perfectly accurate until you go really fast or really big, and then you need relativity. Same thing here, and it gets weirder with indexes. So, an index is basically like the index in the back of a book. Instead of reading every page to find what you want, you look it up in the index, flip to the right page. Amazing for reading data.
That just sounds good. What's the catch?
The catch is every index you add speeds up reads, but slows down writes. Because every time you insert or update a row, the database also has to update every index on that table. If you've got a table with 15 indexes getting 10,000 inserts per second, each insert is doing 15 additional B-tree operations.
So it's like, okay, think of it like this. Every index is a summoning circle you've inscribed on the floor. Each one gives you power, but each one also costs energy to maintain. You can't just have 50 summoning circles running at once.
That is a perfect metaphor, actually. And here's the real quantum weirdness. A billion row table might have indexes that are larger than the data itself. The index takes up more space than the thing it's indexing.
The map is bigger than the territory. That's some Discworld nonsense right there.
It literally is. Terry Pratchett would love databases. And then there's the query optimizer, which is, I think, the most fascinating part. At small scale, the optimizer almost always picks the right execution plan. It's like Doctor Strange looking at possible futures. When there are only a few possibilities, he nails it every time.
But when there are 14 million outcomes.
Right, the predictions get fuzzy. At large scale, the optimizer relies on statistics about your data. How many rows, what the distribution looks like, what values are common. And those statistics can go stale. When they do, the optimizer chooses catastrophically wrong plans. A query that should use an index does a full table scan instead, reading every single row.
And nobody told it the statistics were wrong.
It doesn't know they're wrong. And there's this thing in SQL Server called parameter sniffing, which is genuinely the observer effect for databases. The optimizer sees the first parameter value that comes in, builds a plan optimized for that value, and then caches it. Every subsequent query uses that same plan, even if the next million queries have completely different parameter values.
So the database observes one reality, and then assumes that's the only reality forever.
Yes, the act of observing, of running that first query, literally changes how all future queries perform. It's quantum mechanics. I'm not even being hyperbolic anymore.
Okay, I need something concrete. Show me something breaking in the real world.
Perfect. Let's talk about Entity Framework, which is the most popular ORM for .NET developers. ORM stands for Object Relational Mapper. Basically, it lets you write C code instead of SQL, and it translates it for you. At small scale, it's beautiful. You define your C classes. EGEF generates the database schema. You write link queries, these nice readable, type-safe expressions, and EGEF translates them to SQL. Magic.
Sounds great. Where does it go wrong?
The classic trap is called the N plus one problem. Imagine you load a list of orders. Simple, one query, but then for each order, you access the customer's name, and for each one of those accesses, EGEF fires a separate query to the database. So 10 orders, 11 queries, barely noticeable, 100,000 orders.
100,001 queries. That's like, instead of sending one messenger bird carrying a full battle report, you're sending a separate bird for every single soldier status.
100,000 birds. Your database is just drowning in birds.
The ravens are blocking out the sun.
And there's EGEF's change tracking, which is another thing that's amazing at small scale. When you load entities, EGEF takes a snapshot of each one and watches for changes. When you call save, it compares the current state to the snapshot and generates the right update statements. It's like a surveillance spell on every object in the room.
That sounds useful.
It is, if a room is a closet. But if the room is a warehouse with 50,000 objects, that's 50,000 snapshots sitting in memory, all being compared when you save. It can make read-only queries 2 to 3 times slower for no reason.
So the spell that's watching everything is slowing everything down just by watching.
Exactly. The fix is adding as no tracking to your read-only queries, basically telling EGEF don't bother watching these. I'm just looking. But you have to know to do that. And then there's bulk operations. EGEF generates individual insert statements by default. want to insert 100,000 rows, that's 100,000 separate round trips to the database.
One at a time.
One at a time, when you could be using bulk copy operations that send them all at once. The difference can be, you know, 30 minutes versus 3 seconds.
Okay, so here's what I'm hearing.
Entity framework is great until it isn't, and the problem is that most people don't know when the until it isn't kicks in.
That's the perfect summary, and this feeds into one of the spicier debates in the industry. Should you ever use an ORM at scale? Some teams ban them entirely, others use them everywhere but with discipline. The truth, I think, is that ORMs are fine at scale if you understand what SQL they're generating. The problem is most developers never look.
They trust the translation without ever reading it.
Right, it's like, remember when we talked about Monte Carlo simulations running millions of scenarios? Those scenarios have to be stored and queried somewhere. And if a query layer is generating bad SQL and nobody's checking, those simulations are running on a foundation of sand.
That's a terrifying thought for the finance world.
So what do the big companies actually do?
Well, here's a fun one. Stack Overflow, you know, the website every developer lives on, serves 1.3 billion page views per month from a single primary database server.
One server for a billion page views.
One server, proof that vertical scaling plus smart query design goes way further than people think. Most companies don't need distributed databases nearly as early as they think they do. There's this whole debate, the just use posters crowd versus the you need a distributed database crowd. And honestly, a lot of companies shard too early, adding massive complexity for a problem they don't actually have yet.
Sharding? What's sharding?
So partitioning is splitting a table into segments within one database, by date, by region, whatever, so you only scan the relevant chunk. Sharding takes it further. You split the data across multiple database servers entirely, and now you can't even do normal join across shards.
It's like Horcruxes.
You're splitting your data across different vessels.
It makes it harder to destroy, or I guess more resilient, but every split adds complexity and risk.
And if you need to query across Horcruxes, I mean shards, you're doing it in application code, not in SQL. Facebook does this. They shard MySQL across thousands of servers and essentially use it as a key value store. They do all their join in application code. They broke every single rule of relational databases.
Because at Facebook scale, the rules don't apply anymore.
They're fully in quantum territory. The classical laws of SQL physics have broken down entirely, and they had to invent new physics. And by the way, a single missing index on a large table can cost a company thousands of dollars per day in cloud compute. Because every query does a full table scan, the database autoscales to handle the load, and suddenly your AWS bill looks like a phone number.
Thousands of dollars a day from one missing index. That's like leaving one summoning circle incomplete and the demon just keeps eating your gold.
That is exactly what it's like. And here's the thing I want people to take away from this episode. It's not just databases. Every system has a scale at which its assumptions break. Physics has this with Newtonian versus quantum mechanics. Magic systems have this. Sanderson's Cosmere has hard limits on investiture, right? You can burn a little metal and push a coin, but scaling that up to pushing a building. Different rules, different costs, different consequences.
Same magic, different discipline.
Same magic, different discipline, and the real skill, whether you're a physicist, a database engineer, or, you know, an elementer, is knowing when you've crossed that threshold, knowing when the cup of water became the ocean.
And knowing that the techniques that worked on the cup might drown you in the ocean.
Exactly. The fun part of a database going quantum on you is that the rules you spent time mastering aren't invalidated. They're just, you know, the starting point. You've got to level up your mental model.
This has genuinely changed how I think about this stuff. I always assumed good database design was good database design. I didn't realize there was this whole phase transition where everything flips.
Most people don't, and that's because most people learn databases at the small scale, where everything just works, and they never question it until something breaks at 2 a.m. on a Saturday and the site is down and the CEO is calling.
The classic way to learn anything in tech catastrophically at the worst possible time.
The baptism of fire, or, I guess, the baptism of full table scans.
So what's coming next episode?
Where do we go from here?
Well, I've been thinking, we talked about how databases break at scale, but what about the networks that connect all these systems? There's a whole world of network protocols and distributed systems where the same kind of phase transition happens. Like, What happens when your cute little API that talks to one server suddenly needs to talk to 1,000 servers spread across the globe? The same kind of Newtonian to quantum jump, but for networks.
Oh no, you're going to ruin networks for me too, aren't you?
I'm going to make them magical. Same thing.
That's what you always say, and you're always right.
All right, folks, that's been another episode of Clowncast.
If this made you want to go check what SQL your ORM is actually generating, good. That was the point.
Go look at your query plans, just once. You might find a demon eating your gold. Until next time, everyone.
Until next time.